Now tuning in to Earbud Media, audio for everyone.
You know, and that's okay. I'm trying to acknowledge it now. But the bones bit. I don't know that I'll ever get used to it. They're just so tired. Welcome to Into Old Bones.
Welcome to the bones.
we're just rattling over here this week.
Yeah, I guess.
Unfortunately. But that's okay. I'm actually not sad about being aging, like letting my hair go gray. I don't give a fuck. It's more so it's just the like the pain of it, you know?
Right. Like hurting.
Right. Like I don't need to, my signature fragrance is no longer, like in middle school, it was a Victoria's Secret and then it was a PacSun and now it's Tiger Balm. And that's okay. Yeah. Just, I'm really spicy in so many different ways. Welcome to Into the Tired. I'm just tired.
Yeah. I'm sleepy.
You know what? And maybe that's why I'm starting to understand why people just fall asleep in podcasts now. Not ours, but just in general. Right. I get it now. I understand. Yeah.
I too am
exhausted all the time, but I can't, right. Not this hour. I'm all jazzed.
Right. We're alert. We got wild chapters.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have time to be tired. I have to be wired for this hour because we have really important things to be talking about. Frero doesn't allow me to rest when all she does is provide content that stresses me out within this hour and every other hour of my life, unfortunately.
Yeah. This is not our hour of rest and relaxation.
No, no longer. How are you? Hello.
I am vibing, but I want to talk about the most incredible piece of moving art I've seen that is happening at this moment.
Okay, tell me more.
And that is the celebrity trial of Gwyneth
Paltrow. Oh my god. Okay. All right.
Listen, and I have to preface this with, I think Gwyneth Paltrow is a bad person. Like, she has done abominable things in the spirit and under the guise of quote-unquote wellness, and I think that's fucked up.
I mean, we don't usually talk about good people on this show.
Right, this is true. This is true. However, what she's very good at is giving us content.
It's been a while since we've had Gwyneth-related content, so that's fair.
Right. And so this is everything. Set the scene. She is being sued for $300,000 for allegedly hitting someone while skiing and leaving. A ski and run.
Okay. I mean, I think that happens a lot. If I'm not mistaken, with winter, with winter crimes, that's a common one.
Right. Sure. However, Gwyneth and her team are saying, and this was this incident happened in 2016, so this has been many years ago, right? And her team is like, well, you found out who it was and that it's Gwyneth Paltrow, and now you want her
money. Yeah.
She's actually a great skier. She's actually a very good skier. She's been skiing since she was 3, so she's perfect.
Oh.
And I cannot stress enough how I don't even care who's right or who gets what, whatever. This is everything. She walks into every court appearance in, like, she's in that, like, Knives Out, like, sweater that everyone loves.
The Chris Evans
she looks
sweater.
Like she's ready. The Chris Evans sweater, yes. She looks like, there was one tweet that was like, nobody has ever looked so much like they're on trial for a skiing incident.
Oh, no!
For every outfit, it is bananas. There have been so many moments. She testified the other day, right? And that's, like, obviously wild stuff and, like, what's going on. And at some point she's like bantering with the lawyer. Like at one point she's like asking how tall she is, and Gwyneth is like, I'm this tall. And then the lawyer is like, oh man, I wish I was that tall. I'm pretty short. And they're just like chatting.
I thought
like,
that's
girls,
when the judge
like,
is
out.
Like, stop.
Right. It's like, this is not your new bestie, Gwyneth. What's going on? At one point, Taylor Swift is brought up.
Okay, this is the only thing that I saw about this trial. And I don't yeah. understand why people can't keep Taylor's name out of their mouth.
Right. And at some point, it is asked by the prosecution, that's like, are you close or friends with Taylor Swift? At some point, she was, like, relevant, I guess, for some.
Okay.
And she's like, no, not really. Like, I'm not good friends. Like, we're just friendly or whatever. And then they, like, ask her what Christmas gifts she has given Taylor Swift in the past. And it's honestly
because
incredible.
Theoretically, if you're getting to a time when you're at a trial, right, where Gwyneth has not, like, settled this out of court, it's got to be because this, like, super cool skier person who I imagine in my head is, like, the Vine of, like, I'm a giraffe when they're skiing down the hill has, like, sustained damages.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Right. Oh, and also another wild thing about it, too, is that the guy who is suing her, he's, like, this, like, 75-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Like retired doctor or something, or optometrist or something like that. And this is perfect example of this being just like a white on
literally
podcast.
Where's like, where's that American Vandal show when you need it?
Right. Yeah. And one of the things he was like, yeah, I got like a lot of, you know, physical damage and like, you know, damage to my brain potentially. And one of the things that he was complaining about after the crash was that he wasn't able to go to wine tastings.
Oh my God.
Because he couldn't taste it in the same way that he used to after his injury.
Fuck these two.
About it is
wow. I'm
perfect.
Doing okay. I will say I've adjusted now to the time change, and I'm starting to just now be thankful for more sun later rather than just properly disoriented by the hour change, which is good. My happy thing this week is something that I would not have expected to have ever occurred. Honestly, makes me feel a little bit like my parents' generation when they like still go see the Eagles in concert now. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna lean into it. So my happy thing is being able to see my favorite fictional cast of Cinderella being reprised in the new upcoming Descendants movie. For context, I would never actually consider myself a Disney adult. I only use that term in a derogatory way towards people. I was never, and I would still say now, have never been a Cinderella bitch. The only Cinderella that I liked, mostly when I was younger, right, before we got a lot more of the knockoffs, was the Roger and Hammerstein's Cinderella. That is the one that I consider to be the only Cinderella in my eyes. And to me, it's not even just that, like, it's peak 1997, but the cast is, when I think of a good live action movie, this is what I think of in my eyes. And so I would have never anticipated now to be able to see Brandy and Paul Montalban coming back and reprising their role in a Descendants movie. So now I, as an almost 30-year-old, am going to have to watch a Descendants movie. I hope that it doesn't have lore I need to understand. I was not anticipating when going on the internet this week to see the love of my lives together. And it was honestly the best news this week. So I love these two. It was the best news I saw. Apparently I'm going to have to watch a Descendants movie that has fucking Rita Ora in it. So I will report back at some time this year. I'm excited to cry. Could you do me the honor of talking about our current events news for this week?
I would love nothing. We have beep, 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 Robert Pattinson casting news.
Ayo. Just a little light work in between all of his Batman work and Bong Joon-ho work.
Yes, right. Yeah, he's booked and busy, as we all know. But he is booked and busy once more with a new Adam McKay project called Average Height, Average Build. And it's got a whole gaggle of folks in
it. They were like, we want to build a cast to confirm we get an Oscar.
Right. Yeah, please, God.
Because at least for sure with Forest Whitaker. But if I'm not mistaken, Amy Adams has not won an Oscar yet.
No.
So.
No, she's trying her damnedest. Notably. At every turn.
I'm so intrigued by the fact that it is described as being part serial killer thriller, part comedy.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Hello?
And it's like the whole thing is like using like political whatever to make it easier for murder, I guess. Which, you know, I think Adam McKay sometimes is bad at his job at making movies. But I feel like he can be a fun little freak.
Yeah, I mean, he swung really hard with The Big Short, and then we did have Don't Look Up.
Right.
And that did exist, so.
Yeah. And well, Vice, famously.
So. I do try to remember that does not exist. I'm intrigued by the log line. I'm intrigued by the casting. I'm worried about the chaotic energy that is Robert Pattinson and Robert Downey Jr. together.
Yeah, that one I'm not so sure about that.
I'm
one.
Scared. I'm scared by the hair. I'm scared by the chaos. I'm scared by the cheekbones that could be posed here.
Right.
But I'm excited.
That's a lot. Yeah, I am thrilled about whatever this might
be. He's just going for like every genre now. And I'm grateful, but also I'm worried because the fact that all of these movies I know are going to be like 3 hours.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Robert will never just give us a movie that's like a clean 90 minutes. And no, I hate him for that. Unfortunately. It stresses me out. Anyways, we'll be... stay tuned. And also, please keep sending your good vibes for updates on K-Stew's ghost show.
Yes, oh my god. Keep being on the lookout.
Put it on your vision board. You know, call your congressman. Please let them know that the public is interested in this kind of media. Yeah. So Vampire Academy. Last week was one of the hardest duos of chapters that I've ever read and had to share feelings about with, you know, billions of people on this podcast.
Sure, that is an
my therapist
number.
Would be proud of me just sitting in my feelings, but I hated it.
Right.
I hated having to hear in my brain Dimitri say the four worst words in human history.
Yeah, real banger of a sentence.
Which was,
sentence.
You know, vote. Mike Bloomberg.
Where are you trying to land this plane?
I was going to make a bad joke about someone that I don't actually want to say their name on this podcast. But he said the four worst words, which was love fades, mine has. So bad stuff. And before Rose could emotionally react, she was like, well, I'm not going to cry in front of you, so bye forever. That's what I remember happening. And then I blacked out for a week. It was bad. So could you tell me where we're at on chapter 25?
Oh my God. These chapters. We're bringing the heat.
This is such a long fucking chapter, by the way. I thought I was in chapter 26 and it was like, no, joke's on you.
No, you're still here. Yeah, so much happens here. So obviously, Rose is spiraling a little bit because her entire worldview has been completely shattered. To her mind, beyond repair.
Yeah, very much like, let me sit in this chair and 4 months go by.
Yes, exactly. And it's like we're getting, you know, all the monsters splashing across the screen right now at this moment. And she's just like, I can't believe, you know, I just want to, like, be in my room. Like, I can't, like, there's so many things going on right now, and I have to, like, just scream and, like, sit for a minute. Oh, God.
In a more relatable version. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would say Bella's version is also very relatable. Because I do think that Rose tries that of, like, I'm going to go lay in bed and disassociate. But then she's like, but if I do that, I have to think. So...
Right, it's like, I don't want to be alone with my thoughts, so.
What if I just go good for her. Walk uptown? It's quiet uptown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, lucky for her, she doesn't have to sit alone with her thoughts, because,
So why don't I just, you know, if I fuck someone, I don't have to think and feel my pain.
Right. Exactly. What if I just do, like, a sexy little rebound here, and I feel no pain? Win,
what if I just try to rebound on someone who's in love with me? Whoops.
Right.
Seems painless.
Yeah. So we get this, before we do a little horny action here, we get this conversation between Rose and Adrian, who's like, hey, I kind of want to talk about something. And Rose's like, us? Because I don't think I can do
please
that.
Please don't say us.
And Adrian's like, no. Yeah. And he's like, no, Rose, like, Lissa. And she's like, oh, obviously, duh, right, of course, silly. And talking about, you know, the whole Lissa's dad situation, Eric, and, like, all these, like, bank accounts and all that stuff. And he was like, well,
I asked, you know, I asked my mom.
And she's like, that was confidential information. You can't go blabbing to your mom, age for
she's going to post it on fucking, like, yeah, Royal about, next door. And everyone's going to know.
Yeah. It's fucked up. You can't spread the word like that. And he's like, don't worry, whatever, it's fine. She said, you know, kind of the same thing a little bit, but that he was, like, a good man, and, like, we shouldn't be spreading rumors, whatever, and suggesting that, like, he might have had, like, a gambling problem or something. But still, like... question it. And then Adrian's dad also now
god
here.
Damn it, Adrian.
This guy can't stop, can't be trusted for anything, for any secrets or gossip, and was like, oh, he was probably fun in some mistress, you know, he liked god. The ladies, so that's probably what it is.
This this is so gross, by the way. And Adrian,
yeah,
I would say for the most part has been able to do, like, we had that scene in Vegas. He can do covert.
Right.
He can, he be, can sneaky. Be sneaky. His whole job and life thus far has been, like, how do I pretend to be a good royal TM and navigate these spaces?
Right.
And then he has this moment with Rose, and he's like, well, I'm going to go ask my parents. God damn it.
Like, what if my dad has to say something about this? Like, God, come on, man. Stop dropping the ball.
But apparently, he thinks that some of this might be true. I mean, it could all be made up, but, like...
Right.
I mean, just historically, props not.
Mm-hmm. So, right. And then Adrian's like, okay, well, that was my piece. See you later. And Rose's like, wait, no, don't go. You know, I feel really bad about how this is going, and like, it's not fair. And then now she's kind of like in her head, like, well, if Dimitri's right. over me, I can just pretend that I'm and do that and try my best. And she's like, you know, it's gonna take a while for me to like figure this out and stuff, but, and like, that's not fair to you, but if you want to give it a try.
AKA the same conversation Rose has been having with Adrian for like over a year now.
Yeah, literally. It's like, she's like, yeah, we rushed into this, but like every conversation they've had is like, I know I've been really bad, but like, if you want to give us another chance, or like, I'm sorry, I'm still not into this. If you want to give it another chance, it's like, maybe we don't want the chance. Maybe you just want to get
Yeah, laid. You and could just like, be honest with each other. That's fine.
He doesn't have to be your boyfriend. It's okay. You've got a lot of stuff going on. You're busy. Okay?
I feel really bad for him in this moment because it should have just been a hookup situation, but Adrian caught feelings and it got complicated. Yeah. And there's a part where he's like, I haven't been able to stay away from you since the ski lodge, which was 2 years ago. Time feels weird. And Rose is, again, the same thing that she's been, this is the same fight that they've been, I mean, it's not a fight, but it's the same conflict they've been having their whole relationship, which is, we can make this work. They can't. She says, I know we can. She knows they can't. And she says, if I screw this up again, you can leave. But he won't. And he admits it this time. He's like,
right.
What's he's like, saying, I have an addictive personality.
It's like, you could probably do anything.
So that sucks.
Yeah. Womp womp. Then you start getting a little frisky.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, you know, they're having fun. They're doing whatever. And like, they are. It's almost happening, right?
Rose even says...
And Rose is like, wait a
that
minute.
That it was... Maybe it was some psychological reaction to Dimitri's rejection. That she is going so fast with Adrian right now. Because they haven't had sex.
Right. Okay. No. No. We love this. She's putting the pieces together, you know? But like, they are... It is literally
about
to happen.
He's wearing silk boxers,
and she's like,
by the way. Fuck this dude.
Oh my god, yeah, that was such a good detail.
It's so accurate for Adrian.
Of course he was. Yeah, it's so real. And she's like, wait a minute, we need protection. It's like, okay, we're being smart, Rose, thank you, very good. And they're both kind of like bumming around being like, I don't have anything. I don't have any condoms. And Adrian's like, I have one in my room, but that's like far away. And then... he does this shit that's like, I mean, statistically, it's like probably not gonna happen, you know what I mean? And it's like, bro, what the fuck?
First of all, this seems out of character for Adrian in two ways. One, I feel like Homeboy would never go anywhere without at least one condom.
Yeah. Right. He's one of those guys that has it like in his wallet, just
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
and also, listen. I know that moments like this get a little, you know, your brain's not necessarily working the way that you always want it to be. But him saying this felt so, he's 21. I know your brain's not fully developed at 21. I remember that. But this felt very 17-year-old to me. Of like, listen, nothing bad's going to happen. I'll just pull out.
It's gonna be fine. And it's like, stop this. And Rose, you know, thinks about it a little bit and tries to get convinced by it. But then she's like,
if I could
no,
get
actually,
pregnant, I could die.
Right. So I don't want that, okay? But as an alternative, she does offer up that sweet milk.
Before that, though, I do want to say,
oh, yes,
there was this really interesting conversation, like this very interesting moment, I will say, between them. Because Adrian's like, all right, another time then. Cool. And right. Rose is like, what? and he's like, you said no, period. And right. Rose is like, well, you could have compelled me. It's like, girl.
Right, yeah. It's like, that is not how this works.
Please don't expose your bad experiences so loudly, Rose. And he's like, it didn't occur to me, Rose. Like, I'm...
Right, like, that would be...
I'm an asshole, but I'm not... Like, I don't assault people, Rose.
Right. It's like, come on,
And, like, if you wanted to be responsible, that's not what responsible means. So,
right.
She's like, okay, bet. So, you want my neck then, or what?
Right. It's like, you want this neck? And he's like, whoa. That's, you know what you're asking for? And she's like, oh my god, you don't
know. Oh no.
You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am.
She pulls out her punch card and is like, can you just, like, hey. I'm about to hit 10 on this, can you?
Yeah, I need.
I get like a froyo when I do this. And...
Yeah. And that is appeasing to both parties after talking a little bit about it. And again, very quickly. Adrian does it like maybe a little bit longer than he should, because Rose kind of like, after he's done and she's like feeling this euphoria and all that, is like kind of like pulling him back in, and he's like, no, you don't do that. You're probably gonna like, you know, hit something and fly away. Given how high
I felt
you are.
That line in particular to me felt like it had a double meaning, because earlier on in the chapter, Rose had said to herself, right, when she was thinking, she was like, maybe this is how my life was going to be. I'd always lose the men I loved. And so in that moment when Adrian stopped, like when he pulled his fangs out and she's like, when he pulled away, it was like losing part of myself. I was like, girl, you can be a whole person when you're not like giving all of yourself to someone, but maybe we still need to continue working on therapy for you.
We're slowly getting there, but it's a process. And finally, after however many weeks it has seemed, Rose gets
thank
a good fuck night's sleep.
And of course, right, like it's Adrian too, and he is out like a goddamn light.
Yeah, he's got knocked out by the sweet, sweet blow.
But yes, I am. Please check on your bingo board, in the free space, because this never happens, that Rose got a full night of restful sleep with no one invading her dreams.
Yeah.
Amen.
Incredible scenes.
And she needs it, because the rest of this day is the next day is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Almost everything about it is rough. She wakes up, she does her, you know, little morning routine, does her thing. Adrian still passed the fuck out on the bed. And she's like doing her hair, and you can see the bite. So she like, you know, artistically parts her hair over it. And I'm at this point, I'm like, girl, get a turtleneck. You
get
know what
some
I mean?
Color like, corrector. Like, figure it out.
Yeah, like there's no. You did not, you know, Lyssa has to have left a concealer
exactly.
at some point in here, you know what I mean?
Or a like, scarf, come on, like something.
Yeah, anything, because that will be relevant
right.
later.
She's about to go to this cafe and like go to where Lyssa is, but right. before she leaves, because Adrian still has not woken up, Homeboy is down for the count. She writes right. this little note and she's like, thanks for the sex, XO. which is very important to know.
Yeah.
Hopefully that can be used later as evidence. Whatever. But she was going to go and see Lyssa, because she hasn't seen Lyssa in like a whole ass day. but she can't because Christian's right there. Rip.
Oh.
So, ruh-roh.
Hello.
So she has to go. Liz is at, like, the Starbucks, right, with Christian. So she has to go to, like, the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, she's, like, crossing the other way.
Yeah.
To get out of there. And then she's like, oh, fuck, Dimitri's
also. He would go to the fucking Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'm not gonna, he's over me. I just had sex, but not sex. And I'm a new woman and I'm like, not his girl anymore. Right. I don't care. Like, he doesn't need, if he looks at me, I don't care. If he's, we see each other, I don't care. We're not gonna talk about it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. And of course, he's just like chilling, reading a little book or whatever, a Western probably, and surrounded by like so many guards in this like tiny.
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts is filled with, he has five guardians, which seems like she knows is less than it has been before, but still, that's more than is necessary.
Yeah. Right. That's a lot of space in a, in a place like that. God. And he's like sitting alone. Of course. And
as soon as she walks in, he can smell her strawberry shampoo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And makes eye contact with her. And it's just like, fuck. So,
yeah. For like a split millisecond. Yeah. And she's like, fuck. Like, what did I do? And like trying to get in her head of like, does he want me to approach or does he say, want me to never see him again? I can't keep track, Dimitri. And she's like, well, fuck it. I don't care. He's here. I'm here. It's not my business.
I'm allowed to be in this Dunkin' Donuts.
And she like, right. And she like goes to this like little counter, orders a chai and two. Because she's got to get ready for these hearings.
It's going to be a big day.
For this law. It's a big day. And she's locked and loaded. She's ready to go. And she's like looking, it's raining outside. So she's like, fuck, I can't like eat outside. And it's like, there's like no other tables that are like not full. And she like kind of sees a spot and like tries to make her way over there. And then one of Dimitri's fucking guardians chimes in.
Guardian like, oh, hey, number Rose, two is like, hey, are you going to council today? It's like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I was trying to make my hot exit that I'm powerful and don't need this man.
And
so of course she's like, yes.
So of course you know that Dimitri is listening in. Like he's not paying attention to his Western now.
Yes.
Because guardian number one is like, do you think they're going to let you in this time? And so it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's like, why is this conversation happening?
Yeah. And she mentions too, like she has to go and like give them grief over the age law that they put in place. And naturally, because Dimitri has been sequestered, he doesn't know about the age law.
Right. And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, it's like 16-year-olds is the limit now. And it's like, that's the law. And he's like, that doesn't make any sense. And she's like, I know, right? Like, so true, Dimitri.
And she can tell that he's being like, he's back to Dimitri, who's super serious, like when she first met him. Mm-hmm. And that's not good because she's like, damn it, you're hot. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this whole time, Rose is just like, talking to Claire. It's like letting him talk and like get himself mad about all of this. God. And of course, it was like, was it a close vote? It's like, yeah, it's the whole Lissa thing. It's fucked up. And apparently he also knows about this quorum law because he loves those dusty old rules.
Such a nerd.
And those books. Yeah.
The annoying thing, too, is he's like trying to get more context about all of this stuff. And Rose starts in on her second to Claire. God bless. Because she needs something to be doing with her hands. And there's a part at the end of this conversation where Dimitri says to Rose, the next time that you see Tasha, because they were talking about how Tasha is like against this too, He's like, the next time that you see Tasha, will you send her to me? Like, we need to talk about this. And Rose, hyped up on Chai and the Claires, is like, so Tasha can be your friend, but not me? And she's like, fuck. I am not acting the best in this Duncan as I wanted to be.
Right. It's like, I was trying to be unbothered, but now I'm extremely bothered.
And naturally, Dimitri's like, hey, all five of you guardians, could we, like, get a second?
Have a minute. Yeah. Y'all mind if we have some alone time?
Can we just get a second in privacy in this Dunkin' Donuts? So it's tense.
Gosh. Yeah. And, of course, he's like, you and Tasha have, like, very different situations. Like, she can be safely in my life, and you can't. And she's like, well, I'm around to, like, pass your messages on for you. I think that's pretty fine, right? And then she is, like, dramatically, like,
because she's not wearing a turtleneck or a scarf.
And she, yeah, there are no other protections. We see, bum bum, the bite. And Dimitri's like, well, it doesn't seem like you really need me in your life, huh?
Rip.
And she's like, well, that's not your fucking business. And he's like, yeah, exactly. So we're not in each other's businesses. We're done. It's over.
Before she even has a chance to, like, and get pissed and be like, for fuck's sake, like,
yeah,
stop. There is this army that, like, fills the Dunkin' Donuts. And
just rushing.
They're all wearing all of these guardians are wearing, like, the black and white outfits that they did during the hearing when Rose was like, oh shit, I'm just in, like, jeans and a t-shirt. And there's, like, 20 of them. And she sees that they're wearing this, like, red button that shows that they're, like, the Queen's Guardians, TM. And Rose, naturally, is like, well, they have to be coming for Dimitri. Because why else would they be here?
Right. And it's like, he's done nothing wrong. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, he's just chilling in this coffee shop.
And one of the guards is like, come with us right now. Because it's not like they're going to go to the Dunkin' employees and be like, there's E. coli here. Stop. Like, it's not, that's not how things work here. And notably, the most calm people in this universe, Rose and Dimitri, aren't going to go without force. So...
And very importantly, they're like, oh, we're not here for Dimitri, we're here for you. Rose is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, notably Hans let me go, like, weeks ago, so back off.
Right. Yeah, it's fine. And obviously, like,
for why?
For why? And they're not answering. And they're like, if you don't come with us quietly, like, we'll have to make you. And Rose yells, so that is their signal, like, oh, we can fight now.
The most relatable part of this, by the way, like, right as soon as shit hits the fan, is the people working in the Dunkin' Donuts go and immediately hide behind the counter, like they're expecting automatic weapons to start coming out. I relate to them, and I feel so bad. So, naturally, Rose is like, fuck this. I'm not going with you. And Dimitri, surprisingly, is also like, fuck this. And goes X Games mode.
Don't touch her.
So. It's like literally, it's like 7 a.m. Stop.
Yeah. Rose just had two eclairs. She's not.
To be fair, he also had like half a glazed donut. So he is like ready to go.
Oh yeah, they're sugared up. They got the adrenaline just flowing from their bloodstreams. Yeah.
But the thing, unfortunately, that Rose starts to notice is Dimitri is a fucking force of nature, again, like as he's always been, and he will very easily probably go through all 20 of these people. He's not killing them; he's just making sure that they probably won't wake up without a concussion. And is trying to make sure that, like, Rose doesn't get to touch any of them, which is rude.
Right.
Let her fight.
Let her fight. Come on now. But Rose, like, notices or realizes immediately. It's like, oh shit, this is not a good look.
This is explicitly what Lissa told me not to do.
Boy Dimitri. Right. And so she's, like, yelling for him to stop and everyone to stop. And is, like, trying to get in the middle and stuff and stopping the fight and everything. And just, like, shaking Dimitri's arm. Because, like, we can't do this. This is not good. Don't. And, like, just screamed really loudly so that everyone just kind of, like, stop for a little bit. Or slow down, at least. And she's like, I'll go. Just, like, take me. Whatever. Like, we can't. We can't be busting, squaring up in a Starbucks or in a Dunkin' right now. This is not.
Yeah,
this is
they've not done. Lissa did so much work to do damage control for Dimitri. Like, we can't ruin that now. And so naturally, the Guardians are like, all right, we're going to take you.
Great. Come on in. There's so much, like, eye conversations between Rose and Dimitri. It's like they're not saying anything to each other, but they're saying so much to each other.
There's moments, too, where Dimitri, like, lets Rose put her hands on his face, which was surprising, mm-hmm. and I didn't think he was going to let that happen. But I think he realized, finally, like, she's going to go. So, What is Rose being taken away for?
Fucking mic drop. She is under arrest for high treason. For what specifically? The murder of Queen Tatiana. Ba ba ba.
Wait, what? Hello?
When I say I yelled. I screamed.
When would the this drama. Have occurred?
What? When? Yeah, she was finally getting rest. What do you mean? Like, not only is she dead, but Rose did it. What's going on?
This seems like discrimination in a lot of different forms.
Yeah. So, chapter 26, in a way of the universe working in its beautiful way, she's in Dimitri's old cell.
Rude.
And she's like, motherfucker. Yeah. God. And she's just, like, obviously reeling, right? Because, like, what the fuck is this? Right. What does that mean? How did any of this happen? And why?
And how do they think they have enough evidence to arrest her?
Right. Exactly. So it's like, what? What the fuck? Like, yeah, maybe I said a few things, maybe I, about her, and maybe I, like, yell a little bit at her in that meeting, but, like, or that trial thing, but, like, this is not, you know,
have
that's
I
not
said
murder,
I wish
right?
she was
that's
dead? Yeah. Did I kill her? No.
Right. Exactly. Different.
Like, why do people keep accusing Rose of crimes that she didn't do when she's done very illegal crimes?
Yeah, there's a lot of crimes you could accuse her of that she did, you know, and that's fine. But this is not.
No.
This is not one of them. And that seems like a brutal.
It just seems like y'all are bad at your jobs.
Yeah.
Ugh. At least she has one thing to do, which is go and inspect Lissa's mind to see what the hell's going on.
Right, yeah. And, like, Lissa and Christian are, like, getting the game plan and stuff, and they're all, like, freaking out and everything. And of course, like, and Danielle is also there as well and being like, yeah, it's not a mistake. Like, Tatiana was killed and, you know, the main suspect is Rose. And Christian is given all of the, the, like, prosecutor stuff being like, well, she did this and this. And, like, they don't really like her. And they could just, like, weasel their way into any sort of idea that they want and just get it over with.
Well, because, you know, when Daniela shows up, she shows up with Adrian, who very literally looks like he just rolled out of bed, is wearing the same clothes that he showed up to Rose's room with. Right. So, not great. And there, Christian finally asked Lissa, and he's like, did you see Rose last night? Like, was she with you? Does anyone have an alibi for Rose? Please.
Right.
And Adrian is finally like, well, she wasn't alone. I know I can account for where she was all last night. Right. So, you know, there's that.
Right.
I don't need...
So...
Yeah, I don't need... Mom, I don't need you looking at me. Save your morals right now. But...
Right.
Okay, here's the thing, though, that shocked... I mean, it's not surprising, but I'm still annoyed about it. Daniela, as soon as she's given an opportunity, throws Rose under the bus.
Yeah.
It's just like, brutal. Okay, here's what we gotta do, because now Adrian's implicated in this. It's like, we gotta get a lawyer. And gotta save my son. And I don't give a fuck about Rose.
It's like, I know, you know, a fancy Maroi lawyer. He's great. I can pull some strings. We can make something happen.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Adrian is still just like reeling over the death of his aunt, his great aunt, you know.
It's wild, too, because the fact that he finally like looks at his mom and is like, we can't just let Rose be thrown to the wolves. Like, will Damon, who apparently is the lawyer that Daniela knows, like, be her lawyer? And his mom is like, wow, Damon doesn't really do that sort of thing.
It's like,
like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's like, God,
for real. Boil,
you know what I mean? Always comes
apparently
back to that.
Too, once Daniela, like, scurries off to go talk to this dude, Adrian tells Christian and Lyssa that he's kind of sleazy, like he's kind of a shark, he can get people out of stuff like this. So I don't know, I'm not feeling very good about it.
And it's also revealed too that they found a stake in her bed.
Oh yeah, that's how the queen was killed. Like, she had a stake through like her heart.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Right.
The queen isn't a Strigoi, so hello?
Right. Yeah, that seems pretty brutal.
I'm very... confusion. About why. What is the reason? We do get a good note. We do get a good point out of this, though.
Yeah. We do finally get some good news, which is that Lyssa and Christian... They're smooching. They're coming back. They're, like, having this cute little conversation. And being, like... about everything, and Lyssa's just like, yeah, I don't remember you being this reasonable before. And Christian's like, well, you know, everyone's has different definitions of reasonable, and sometimes mine's just misunderstood. And they just have this cute back and forth, and he's like, well, I hope this isn't misunderstood. My God. And then they smooch.
I love him.
Yeah, and her being like, well, what's the definition of that? And he was like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It so honestly good. Makes me so sad that we don't get this Christian in... Like, we don't get more seasons of this Christian.
I know.
It's disrespectful.
So fucked up.
The ending of this chapter really hurts a lot because... Rose is like, all right, I'm gonna give you two some privacy, and I'm just gonna like stare.
Y'all do
I'm gonna stare up at the ceiling, and apparently like just starts like disassociating and is sort of like numb, and she doesn't even realize that like Mikhail has been standing at her door, like her cell, for a while. And I still love Mikhail. I love him.
Yeah.
It's just so sad to see the, because she had a very similar conversation with Mikhail, I think it was earlier in this book, where Rose was, like, very disillusioned to how reality works. And so to see that happen again here sucks so bad.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, are they letting me go? And he's like, no, they're not letting you go. We're going to do a hearing. And she's like, what is that? And he's like, well, it's not a trial because, like, we have to do that first. And they just, like, lay out all the evidence. And she's like, well, that seems like a waste of time. We have to do the trial. He's just like... Yeah, he's like, no, that's not how any of this works. And also, like, they kind of just want to get this
done. Yeah.
Over with a little bit because they don't want to name any other suspects. They don't want to, like, investigate it. And also, they already have, like, a big funeral planned and, like, make all everyone in the court feel, like, good and safe. And they just want to just be done with
the fact that he's, like, your hearing is an attempt to establish order. And Rose is like, I don't understand. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. And him having to be like, well, the sooner that they convict the murderer, the safer everyone will feel. And they feel really solid about the case and they want you to be guilty. So they want to have the funeral knowing that her killer is moving towards justice. So everyone feels good and safe when we have a new royal elected. Mm-hmm. And finally Rose having to be like, there's no point in trying to explain this to Mikhail that I didn't do this.
Right. And this ends where she's just like, you think they'll really put me on trial for murder? And he's like, yeah. I'm pretty sure they will.
Dune. What the fuck?
Buddy.
And it's like, of course Mikhail knows that. His whole life was ruined because of this place.
Right. Yeah. God.
I can't believe that we only have one chapter of this book left. Because it feels so like...
I know.
We just got there, you know?
Yeah, like we're finally getting into the groove of everything, and now it's like, uh-oh.
But I mean, when I think about the fact that, like, Dimitri turned in this book, I'm like, wait, that feels like...
That's so
That feels like forever ago. So next week we finish this book, and then we have one more, and that's it. What the fuck? That's wild. My heart's fucking racing. I'm so stressed. And, like, can you believe that the whole, like, Victor Roll, no, that's a fragrance, and Ricky Bobby thing happened in this book, too? That?
Oh, my God. That's Yeah, we've lived so many lives in this book.
It's been a real trip. We have some amazing patrons to thank as we end on a cliffhanger this episode. Could you start us off?
Absolutely. Shout out to Kylie Minty.
Ooh. Thank you to Alex Dornan.
Pew, pew, pew. Thank you to Mulch Gray. Mulch.
Ooh. Thank you to Jasmine Anastasia.
Pew, pew, pew. Thank you to Megan Pattinson.
Ooh. Thank you to Cassandra O'Shea.
Thank you to Katia Karp.
Ooh, thank you to Hope Castile.
Ow. Thank you to Rachel Ashford.
Ooh, thank you to Maddie Facinelli.
Pew, pew, pew. Thank you to Genevieve Morgan.
Ooh, thank you to Danielle Burke. Pew.
Thank you to my mom, your mom, all of our moms. Oh. Kelly Beck.
Oh, mom. Thank you to Sophia Salinger.
Oh, thank you to Lara 40.
Ooh, thank you to Dan Zeklos.
Pew, pew, pew. Thank you to Emily Ozera.
Oh, thank you to Jaylene Ivashkov.
Pew, pew, pew. And last but certainly not least, thank you to Ashlyn Vogel.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
I have a fanfiction for you today that was written by the author Moot Boot.
Slay.
And is titled, I Shot an Arrow in the Air. The summary is, a strange, beautiful bartender named Alice, an old classmate approaching with a question, and something locked inside a lab in the woods. Bella Swan, a blacklisted has-been journalist, thought her story ended with her firing from the newspaper, but it was only changing genres. Author's note, takes inspiration from the movie Venom, but with twists, not a crossover.
Oh, God. Incredible.
This is from chapter 3. I should note that there are currently 2 books that this author has done, and they're so long. So if this is a content that is interesting to you, please enjoy. They're so fucking much. Okay. Oh. To her right, a man slid into the empty stool, ecstatic to be here for no apparent reason. Perfectly average in every way, just as he looked in high school. The years were showing on him. He had gotten more portly. There were new, fine wrinkles around the eyes and in the shiny forehead. The gelled-up spikes of his high school hair had been tamed, hairline beginning to edge backwards. In unremarkable business casual attire and maybe a little taller, Mike Newton now sat beside her. Arizona, he grinned. Dude, what the hell are you doing back here? A nightmare. This was her nightmare. If she could move, she would pinch herself. But if she could move, she would have ran out the door. But she was not asleep. There was no escape. Mike had done it. Cornered her. Entrapped her in a social situation with no easy exit. It was too late to pretend he didn't exist or that he had the wrong person. Fuck my life. End scene.
Dang. Mike.
This author understands my feelings about Mike completely.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that immensely.
God.
So if you would like, I think I looked at it before. There's like almost 150K words. Again, inspired by the Venom series. Please enjoy Moot Boots works.
God.
But it is not a crossover. Yeah, they make that very
don't
clear.
Get it twisted, all right?
Our penultimate book ends next week. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Put an order in for the last book at your library now.
Yes, now's the time.
That's mostly a reminder for myself. and as we say here in the Pacific Northwest.
Get bit.
Ooh!
Into the Twilight is an Earbud Media production. You can follow us on Twitter at Into the Twilight or on TikTok at Into the Twilight Show. You can find me at Cody Corral on Twitter and Allie at Alexandria Does. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/intothetwilight. We have merch, so much stuff. All those links are in the episode description. And make sure to rate and review us on your favorite podcast hosting platform. It really helps the show. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Earbud Media Production. Earbud Media, audio for everyone.